listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 188. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the fully caffeinated John Brownstone.
And then some.
And then some. Yeah, we're going to have to cut you off at a certain point.
No.
Eventually.
No.
Even you have a limit.
No.
Just for today. You can have some more tomorrow.
Damn.
This week, we're back, and we're talking about the reality of disappointing your partner in DS. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC. That would be John Brownstone in the back moaning and groaning with pleasure over his coffee. Follow us on Instagram at the handle I fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1. Or on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. As always, we want to give a big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon.
Yes.
We love you. You're amazing. And there I am singing. No, I need to stop. No. If you would like more of whatever the hell this is, including live Q&As, bonus podcast episode, sneak peeks into what we're doing, and all the other good stuff, you can join us on Patreon for as low as $1 a month. Just go to patreon.com/KaylaLords. That's patreon.com/KaylaLords, or use the link in the show notes. No, you cannot find us if you search for us on Patreon. We are an adult account. You will not find us. It's patreon.com/KaylaLords. Okay. So, real quick, before we get into the show, of course, there's an announcement. Mm-hmm. And it is for everybody who was listening in August or has caught up to those episodes. We did have our giveaway going in August. Mm-hmm. That giveaway ended at the end of August. The winner has been selected, notified, and if they have not received all of their prizes yet, they should be receiving, like, the last one soon. So that's been done, and thank you everybody for who entered. We do that giveaway mm-hmm. every year, so that one will come back. We try to do other giveaways throughout the year. We got a couple mm-hmm. like little fun things. We might do some small giveaways coming up. But I worked out a deal with Hot Octopus because they're fucking amazing. Where yeah, from now through the end of September 2019, if you happen to be watching later or listening later, if you use the code KL, as in Kayla Lords, KL15, you get 15% off your purchase at Hot Octopus. The only thing that is not included in that are the Pulse 3 Duo and Solo. The Solo because they're out. Mm. The Pulse 3 Duo because they're selling that at the Solo price. So those are the only two. Anything else you want to buy, the Digit, the Jet, the Pocket Pulse, the Queen Bee, all of those, the Atom cock ring, like whatever you're into, we have tried all of them. We have reviewed all of them. We love Hot Octopus.
KL15.
The other thing to know is that if you make a purchase in September, you are entered in to win a Hot Octopus prize, which is a trip for two to a clothing optional resort called Hedonism 2 Ooh. In Jamaica. Yeah. I'll put all the links to that in the video description and the podcast
show notes. I've heard that's a fun place.
I think in theory I would be really interested in it. So, other disclosure, if you use our code, use our link, we're an affiliate. We do make a commission on purchases, so there's that too. But that coupon is specific for us. Like, I went, Hot Octopus, please give us a discount to give to our audience. And they went, okay. And so... There you go. KL15, hotoctopus.com. If you buy in September while the coupon code is good, save 15%, enter to win the trip to clothing optional resort in Jamaica, trip for two. Just saying. Okay. That's enough. We are here.
Yeah.
For the topic at hand.
Yeah.
Which is about disappointment. I know, right? Okay, so where this topic comes from, I get into these conversations a lot with submissives, but I had a very specific person reach out to me, and in their email, part of it was, I am so afraid of disappointing my dominant. And that comes in a lot of different ways from a submissive perspective. Mm-hmm. There's the, they want me to do something I'm not sure I'm capable of or comfortable with, and I'm afraid of disappointing them. There's the, they want to do something that I'm not necessarily into. And if I say no, I'm afraid of disappointing them. I am breaking rules left and right and I don't know why. And I'm definitely disappointing my dominant partner. Like there's all kinds of ways this can hit a submissive. In my notes, though, I made sure to point out, and we will get to it, that dominants have their own version of this fear. It's just that the most conversations I either witness or get into happen to be with submissives.
Mm.
And there's a couple of things that I think about this particular topic. One is that it's not necessarily a bad thing to not want to disappoint your partner. Sometimes it makes it a little bit easier to follow the rules you've set, if that's part of your DS dynamic. Sometimes it makes it easier for you to do things that sort of stretch your boundaries and things that you wouldn't normally do, maybe for any other partner or in any other relationship dynamic. But on the other side, there's a toxic side to submissives who are afraid to disappoint. Because it means that with a partner who's not conscientious about consent or not maybe a really good partner to be with, or just kind of a selfish human being, that sometimes submissives will acquiesce to things that they don't really want to do because they're afraid to disappoint their partner. And so then they end up in situations where they're not happy, their needs aren't being met, resentment builds, they're afraid. Like there's all kinds of negative outcomes when your fear of disappointing your partner turns into a negative thing, where it turns into, I'm gonna do whatever my partner has asked of me and not communicate my needs and not communicate my concerns. Even though I hate everything about this because something in your head is, you know, or what they've said to you is they'll leave me, they'll hate me. This is what submission is. No, it's not. no, it's not. So that's where my big concern is in the conversation about disappointing a partner as a submissive, in the submissive role where you're worried about disappointing your partner. I know for myself, there are times I would rather turn myself inside out than have to say to John Brownstone, I do not want to do that. I cannot do that. Can we do something else? Like it's a physical ache in my heart to know that I have disappointed him. There's also the kind of disappointment where I know I knew better. I knew what the rule was. I knew what the agreement was. And this has been a long time since I've done this, but I did something else anyway. It's kind of a shameful, guilty feeling, and it's not a good one. And those are the two, I think, healthier sides of it, where either you just don't want to and you've got to tell them and it's really hard, or also you didn't do what you're supposed to do and you've disappointed them in that way, and then it's awful. And sometimes the punishment when a rule gets broken or a thing doesn't get done, or however the submissive has air quote disappointed their dominant in that sense when it comes to rules and tasks and protocols, sometimes the punishment is the disappointment. Sometimes there's nothing else a dominant has to do because the submissive is over there like, I am awful. I will self-flagellate. I'll put myself in the corner. I get no treats. Like, depending on your personality and how you handle things like that, yeah, there you can do it to yourself way more than a dominant can ever do to you. It's rare in my childhood that this happened, but I did once have my parents do that to me. They knew that I knew what I had done, and they knew, I don't even remember what it was anymore, but they knew that I knew how disappointed they were in me, and all they had to do was look at me, and there was no actual punishment or consequences because I was like, I'll just ground myself. You know, I'm not gonna do anything.
Well, there are times when you have done something wrong that I have not punished you. I've just looked at you and said, you've disappointed me, girl.
That's awful. Yeah. I hate that feeling.
Those words can be worse than any punishment sometimes.
Absolutely. Because for some of us, in some dynamics, in some situations, that feeling of having disappointed our partner is so great, it's a physical hurt. But that's where it can be really dangerous too, because unscrupulous people can use that to their advantage. And then there's a submissive out there who's doing things that that go against their ethics and their morals and their values and just their hard limits. And because that feeling is so strong. So because there's a lot of nuance in why you are worried about disappointing your partner and what's happening, I don't think there's any like strict, you know, point A to point B on how to handle it. I do think that when it's about being asked to do something that you're not comfortable with, you don't really like, or this is very common in our relationship, somebody named John Brownstone would really like to have sex. Somebody named Kayla Lords is like, I'm really not feeling it. Now, we have the agreement. Part of our power exchange, our dynamic is he could technically fuck me whenever he wants. And we're cool with that. And we do that. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. But he is, thankfully, the reason we get to do that is because he's also the guy that's like, you're not into it. I'm not here to like have sex with somebody who's not into it. So I'm going right? to pass on this one.
Yeah.
But there are times where I know he's like jonesing for it. He's like, oh yeah, I'm down to fuck right now. And I'm over here going, no, no. And it is difficult. It is hard to say to him, I know you really want that thing and you're in charge and you're the dominant and you get to have what you want. That's our dynamic, but I really don't want this right now. It sometimes means I have to deal with him showing his disappointment, which I hate as well. That is the part good girl in me, part perfectionist, part people pleaser. People of any dynamic and any part of the kinky spectrum, vanilla or kinky, can be people pleasers. And there are lots of reasons for that. It usually goes back to our childhood. But I think submissives tend to be people pleasers more often. Not universally, but a lot of submissives are people pleasers. And we are the type of people that will let all of our needs get walked right on over to make somebody else happy. And that is not good. I think that there are times where it's okay to put yourself second for the other person to be happy. I think that's part of a relationship. It should be happening both ways. Your dominant should do that too. But if it's what you're doing all of the time, or you're making those decisions to your own mental, physical, or emotional health detriment, that's a problem. And some people will say, oh, it's just easier to give in. Yes, it's easier than having a difficult conversation, but here's the part about being a grown-up. You have to learn how to have difficult conversations. Yes. And if you can have difficult conversations about, we're in a happy place, we're in a good relationship, I really do not want to, am not interested in, please don't ask me to do fill in the blank of the kinky thing tonight. Yeah. If you can have that conversation with your partner and work through it in a positive, healthy way, you can have all kinds of conversations. And it is about growing the bond between you and the trust between you, because there is also the fact that your dominant needs to be able to trust that you will speak up on your own behalf. We have talked about that before. You know how I get about that. I will lecture y'all, all of you little subs out there, until forever about that.
Because rant warning.
I'm too hot right now for a rant warning. It's very sweaty in this corner of the house.
This is the sauna. This is where my desk is in this corner. And it's like, it's like
hot.
Sitting in a sauna.
If this was just a podcast recording, I would probably be naked right now. It's that hot. So while the instinct might be to not say something, especially if you have a reaction where it's just hard and it hurts to have to say something and you don't want to see the look of disappointment on their face, or you don't want to know that you've denied your partner something, it's an important communication skill to develop and to have, because these small moments of like kinky fuckery are important, but they're a lot less important than that moment where you have to explain to your dominant partner that I don't want to move across the country, or I don't want to do this major life change thing. Like, if you can have these conversations on these like sort of micro levels of tonight, I really don't hit me with anything. I cannot handle that tonight. Then you end up, those skills transfer to the bigger things. Now, we're going to get into the dominant side of this, but I want to hear your perspective on disappointment from my side. When you know that, well, I guess let's start with this. Can you tell at this point with me when I'm worried about disappointing you, or when I make a decision so that I don't disappoint you? Are you able to sort of sense that at any point?
I know you well enough that you know, you do your best to try and please me, and do the things that you know make me happy. So when you can't, for the most part, I know that you generally have a very good reason for not. So I would have to say, you know, my disappointment per se is kind of tempered.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, early on, when we were new to each other, I think I felt the disappointment a little bit more so than I do now. Only because at this point, I have come to realize that things don't always go the way as you want them to.
Right. I mean, that's a life lesson.
That's a life lesson.
Disappointment
exactly.
is a fact of life.
It's going to happen at some time or another. Nobody is perfect. Nothing in life is perfect. Outside circumstances prevail. And things are not always going to pan out the way you want them to. So I think knowing that in advance, I can kind of temper the disappointment. There are some times that, I'm really gung-ho for something and, you know, lock up the brakes and hit the wall because it just ain't going to happen.
The look on your face when you were all excited and I went, no. You know, and I think that's a little bit of sort of the sacred trust in a relationship. Any relationship, we're speaking specifically about DS, but I think this is true of any relationship, is to understand the power we really have over each other.
Mm-hmm.
So consent matters. I have the ability to withdraw consent at any point, as does John Brownstone. And although we consider ourselves 24/7, and this is who we are in every aspect of our mm-hmm. life, I still, as we all should and do and please do, have the ability to consent or not consent to something. And so when I have to say that's not going to work, I have to, in my mind, the way I view it is that's got to be used judiciously, okay?
Yeah.
We've said this before about other things in relationships. If, especially when we talked about consent and safe words and all that, if you, especially as submissive, are constantly withdrawing your consent, like every time your partner asks you to do something or tells you to do something or brings something up, you're like, nope, 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 or you're using your safe word, you are allowed to do that, but it is worth having a little introspective moment about why that's happening. Because something's not right in the dynamic
right.
if you can't stomach doing all of the things that apparently you've already agreed to. So when I say no, that's not going to work for me tonight, and here's why. If I'm capable of giving a reason, I will. Sometimes it's that my mental health is like down the drain and I can't even articulate it, but if that happens, you usually know before I do.
I usually pick up on that. I've
right.
become pretty good at seeing that.
But because of the nature of our specific dynamic, I feel like it's important to be able to say when I can why
mm-hmm.
and then to only withdraw that consent when I don't feel like there's any other option. I will sometimes suggest a change in plan. Oh, you wanted to have sex this way, how about we have sex that way? You wanted to do this kinky thing, how about that kinky thing? And that's like negotiation and communication and compromise. So nobody's disappointed. But when I have to say no, for me, I have to have some basic understanding of why that might be. And I only do it when I just can't see any other option. So I try not to do it very mm-hmm. often. If we found ourselves in a pattern where I was constantly going, nope, we're not doing that, nope, 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 then that's time for a conversation about what's going on with me, what's going on with us, what could we do differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of that works now at this stage because we have that trust in one another. It's harder when you're newer in a relationship. To me, that just means it requires a lot more conversation. Those are difficult conversations to have when you're new to your dynamic or new to your relationship, because there's this desire on both sides, usually, to want to impress each other and do all the fun things and have all the fun and focus on the fun and, oh, let's not make it too serious. I'm sorry. If you're adding power exchange either to an existing relationship or this is a brand new relationship, it's automatically serious just because of that, because of the fact that there is so much potential harm in power exchange and kink gone wrong. So if you're not ready to have serious conversations at the start of your DS dynamic, that to me is a signal that something is, like, your understanding of your of what DS can mean and might mean for you might be a little off. There might be some more education needed, because even when all you're doing is playing with one another, those are still serious conversations. They are not always conversations that are done in these really somber, sober voices. Like, it's not like you're sitting at a boardroom table, like, signing contracts necessarily. They can be playful conversations, but the topics, the deep dive you go into, the detail you get into, those are serious things, and you have to do them imperfectly, not be very good at them at first, but you have to be willing to have those conversations. And if you can do it at the beginning, it becomes a lot easier.
It does.
Later on.
It's like exercise. It's like exercising a muscle that you haven't used. It's going to be painful at first. It's going to be hard. But the more you do it, the more consistently you do it, the easier it becomes.
Exactly. So can you think of a time, even not with me, I mean, I'm the end all be all, but even in past relationships or with other partners, can you think of a time when your partner was afraid of disappointing you, or had worried that they had disappointed you, or knew that they had disappointed you, and you had to kind of deal with that, like deal with those emotions, deal with the fallout, deal with knowing they were doing something, maybe figuring out later that they were doing something that they didn't want to do because they didn't want to disappoint you? I mean, I can't imagine you think it being me. I'm a little too mouthy for all that. And I don't have a poker face, so.
No, you don't. I'm not sure. Give me a moment or two to think about that one.
We can come back to that.
Yeah.
I think while you're thinking.
Okay.
Believe me, I can fill space and time. I think it's just important as submissives that you step back and take a look at your relationship and your dynamic. If you are constantly afraid of disappointing your partner, is it because you have built this up in your head that you are going to, even when they give no indication otherwise? Or are you in a situation where they make it very clear when you disappoint them and they do it often? So there is something to be said, and I think we'll get into it a little bit later, about that whole disappointment as kind of part of the kink dynamic, the power exchange dynamic. There's power sometimes in a dominant looking at their partner and saying, you have disappointed me. And it can be a catalyst for change, and it can be a catalyst for all kinds of, like, fuckery, like all kinds of stuff. But there's that. And then there is submissives who are afraid to make a single move ever for fear of disappointing their partner. They're afraid to ever say no. They're afraid to ever withdraw their consent. They're afraid to ever speak up for their own needs. And sometimes that is on you, and that is about the bad tapes you carry. That is about past relationships you have. That's about things that, you know, you've got to, like, work on over time and work through. And then sometimes it's about the partner you're with and how they handle not getting their way. Most dominants that I have met don't like to not get their way. That's kind of why they're the dominant, okay? I know plenty of submissives who don't like to get their way. It's the energy of it is a little bit different. So that's fine. But there's a difference between the dominant who's like, wait, I wanted to get my way, this kind of sucks, and the dominant, or the air quote dominant, who makes you feel guilty, who makes you feel bad, who doesn't care, who holds it over your head for all time to come. Like, those are problems. And sometimes... Yeah,
because there is the thing of the reality of it. Nobody is going to get their way 100%.
Right.
All right? I mean, would it be nice? Yeah. And then again, it'd probably get boring after a while. But at the same time, the reality of it, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
Either way. Mm-hmm. Either way.
Exactly. Did you think of a time?
No.
Okay, that's fine. We'll move on from that. I think that's a good question for anybody out there who has played a dominant role in a relationship in the past. Can you think of those times? Can you? How did you act? How did you handle it? How can you imagine going forward if you realize it? Because sometimes, I know a lot of submissives, I feel this way sometimes too, and a lot of submissives seem to feel this way. Mm-hmm. It does kind of feel like our dominance can almost read our minds. And part of it is that they just get to, some of the good ones, get to know us really well, know how to read our body language, mm-hmm. learn how to read our body language. Right. They do not spring up out of the ground knowing how to do this. It's a skill. And sometimes they see things that we think we're hiding really well, or we have not admitted to ourselves. And I think that if you find that you are that type of person who can do that with your partner as a dominant, it's worth using that skill, that mm-hmm. superpower, to pay attention to when a partner, a submissive partner, thinks is worried they're going to disappoint you or has disappointed you, or like it can send people into spirals because it depends on where that what their history is and their personality. Like my perfectionist, people pleasing ways, I can twist myself into a pretzel to not disappoint somebody, even when it hurts me, even when it's bad for my health, even when it's not something I want to do. I can do it for people I love and I can do it for strangers. And that to me is the most twisted part of it, is that I will do it for strangers on the internet. So there's that. Now, we spent a lot of time on the submissives. There's a lot more we could say about submissives, but I think it really does come down to hard conversations, communication skills, and looking at the nature of your relationship. I think sub-frenzy can contribute a lot to submissives being afraid to disappoint their partner and allowing poor partners, bad partners to manipulate them, because that air quote dominant says something like, well, I'm the dominant. I always get what I want. Fuck that shit. Right? And so a submissive who's in the middle of frenzy, who might be relatively new to kink and BDSM, is like, oh, okay. And then it can just get bad. But let's talk. I gotta go back to my notes to make sure I say this the way I mean to.
All right.
Let's talk about dominance. So I think dominants have on one side the same kind of problem.
Yes.
With disappointing. Well, first of all, let's blanket this. Dominants can be afraid of disappointing their submissive partners too. Okay. But I think there's the two sides that came to my mind when I made the notes for the episode. There's the one that's very similar to submissives, which is dominants will find themselves going down paths and doing things that they don't necessarily care for or want to do for fear of disappointing a submissive partner. That does not make them any less dominant, by the way. Let's just like cut that bullshit. It makes them human. Okay. If you are a people pleaser for whatever reason, however that came to be in your life, you can still be dominant and be a people pleaser. And I know a few sort of nurturey caregiver type of, there goes John Bronson's phone ringing. I know a few nurturey caregiver type of dominance.
Sorry about that, folks. I got to silence my phone.
Are people pleasers and they want to make their submissives happy. And they will sometimes do that to the detriment of their own wants and needs.
Yeah.
Then there's the other side that came to my mind when we were talking about, or when we were thinking about this episode, which is those dominants who will sit down with their submissive and say, these are the parameters we're going to set for our relationship. These are the expectations. Mm-hmm. Maybe these are the rules. These are the tasks. These are the protocols. This is how we're going to do it. Like whatever you decide in your relationship. And then the dominant, who does not want to upset their submissive partner, gives in and doesn't maintain those tasks, does not follow through, does not dole out agreed upon and consented to consequences. Like, they sort of, whether the submissive intends this or it's just a oopsie accident, they kind of get walked all over by their submissive. And next thing you know, the submissive's like, well, I don't even feel like you're really a dominant. You kind of let me do whatever I want, and I'm not happy with that, and you're not happy with that. And there's a lot of reasons that can happen. But one of them, I think, can be from fear of disappointing their submissive partner.
It's a fine line. Because as a dominant, you have a lot on your shoulders. All right? Kinky fuckery aside, you bear the brunt of the decision-making in the relationship. And even I feel it sometimes. Am I making the right decision? If I decide this, will this happen? If I do that, will why happen? You know, is she going to be disappointed if I do this or if I don't do that? So there's a lot that goes with it. You know, for us, I think a lot of the times what happens more so than not are there are little disappointments. Sometimes.
Do you mean caregiver little or do you mean just small?
No, just small.
Okay. Sorry, my brain went, oh, little? Baby girl disappointments? Yes, there are baby girl disappointments
in this life. I think those little disappointments do come because of your baby girl. All right?
Whatever. It's fine.
You know, you often ask me for treats. Huh? Yeah. Uh-huh.
I love a treat.
Yeah, you do. Sometimes I think she feels that just because I leave the house, it's a reason for a treat to be...
Yes.
See?
Yes. When I leave the house, it's a reason for a treat.
And there are times I have to say no.
It's very sad. It's
for you, yeah.
I wanted a treat.
See? And, you know, it's tough to do that sometimes because the disappointment... And it's in those cases I have to grow a little bit of a thick skin.
I'm not awful. I don't throw tantrums.
No, you don't throw tantrums, but you have that pouting thing down well.
I think I came out of the womb with that pout.
I think most people not accustomed to it would melt with that
pout. Well, I do have brown eyes, too, so I can do puppy dog eyes.
Yes.
And then the pout, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a superpower.
And I've had to learn how to, you know, get that steely...
I know. I am part turned on by your steely spine, like, no. And I'm also very disappointed
by it. Yes. Yes. So it's tough, you know, and it's walking a fine line because you don't want to go too far one way because if you do, yeah, you'd have an out of control baby girl and she'd be walking all over you.
Well, and here's the thing. I think, by and large, I know there are exceptions to this, so this is not like a blanket statement. I think it is a bit of human nature to take an inch and want a mile. So it's sort of like when we establish boundaries and consequences as parents. Like, I know that it's okay every once in a while to relax the rules with the kids. Like, it's okay as on occasion. But if I do it all the time, then I've taught them to expect that. And then their expectations change and are no longer in line with my expectations. And now I'm wondering why these children, you know, act like they have no home training and can't follow a rule. And can't, you know, abide by the agreements we have in this house. The same is true in your DS relationship. If you set an expectation of what this is going to be, and that could be something as simple as you will ask permission for, fill in the blank, you will ask permission before you have, you know, that Coke you really want. You will ask permission before you go to bed. You will ask permission before you masturbate. You will ask for, I mean, it could be anything. And then the dominant lets it slide multiple times. Like, there's a difference to me between the occasional, John Brown's going to do this, he'll go, tonight you don't have to do that. And that is him communicating and switching things up on me through clear communication. He has told me I'm off the hook for that, for this tonight. And sometimes I'm like, thank God. And sometimes I'm like, no, that's my thing. Please don't take it away. But what the difference is if he allows me to get, oh, to quote,
get away with it.
One time where he didn't say it was okay, I just kind of went, well, he doesn't seem to be paying attention, and I really don't want to do this, so I'm not going to do this. And that, nobody's perfect. Even like some of the strictest upon themselves submissives can find themselves in this position. It's not a little thing. It's a human thing. If depending on what that thing is and where my head's at and where we're at and all kinds of different things that can go on in a relationship, if he doesn't acknowledge that he sort of allowed that, and I don't acknowledge and I didn't ask and he did not give verbal confirmation that this was okay with him, then the next time it comes up, I might go, oh, well, maybe we're now in a thing where he doesn't care if I do this or not. And I start going further and further towards the other side. And that's...
Well, you found out where that got you about a week ago, didn't it?
Wait, I forgot.
Oh, well, maybe I need... Okay. You were being rather sassy before bed, and instead of giving you permission to go to bed, you ended up in the corner while I went into bed.
I did not like that.
Yeah, no, all. You didn't.
And so, the point is, as a dominant, you have to be intentional with that kind of stuff. Because depending on the personality, depending on the situation you're at and where you're at in life and where you're at in your relationship, if you don't speak up when a partner does something or doesn't do something that they agreed to do and acknowledge that and at least have the conversation, either because you're afraid of starting an argument, which that's grounds to be concerned about other things, quite frankly, or... You know, oh, they really like that, and I don't want to take that thing away from them. Like, just not even talking about the thing sets up expectations for what's allowed and what's not. And next thing you know, now there's a really big blow up because one or both of you are upset because this DS thing doesn't seem to be working for you because you as the dominant aren't following through. Oh, but you as the submissive, you're not doing what you said you would do. And now you're not even on the same page. You're not on the same playing field. You're not even seeing eye to eye anymore. You are at opposite ends of things, and you are both viewing it from your own unique perspective, which is what happens, but very skewed perspectives about what it all meant. So yes, if you know, from as a submissive speaking to other submissives, when you are tempted to not do the thing that you're like, I totally said I was going to do this thing, but I really don't want to do this thing, I would recommend asking for permission, because then you have put it out there, and it's not this little secretive thing, and it's not this sneaky thing, and it's not this unspoken thing, and then neither of you can say you didn't know what the hell was going on. But then as a dominant, sometimes the answer is going to be no.
Well, sometimes the answer is going to be no, and there are times in the past I have been, how do I put it, comes to a point where you need to make a decision and you are afraid of the disappointment in the decision that you have to make. All right, so you kind of come to a standstill. Well, the way I've overcome that is now I will sit down with her and say, look, this is what is happening. This is one of the ways this could go, but this is what could happen because of that. So, one, it allows me to give voice to it, kind of gets it out of my head, in a sense, and it lets you know what the possible outcome could be, but it also allows me to get some feedback from you and say, oh, okay, maybe there is another way, and then I can more easily base my decision.
Sure. And that's when it's on the submissive to be as forthcoming as you're capable of being.
Yeah.
Because are you communicating when you go, I really just don't feel like doing that? Yeah, I mean, that's better than not saying anything. But it's more effective communication to say, I really don't want to do that because I'm feeling this way, or this happened today, or this is on my mind, or, you know, if you happen to be like me and you're really introspective and before you ever open your mouth to speak, you've got like thousands of words in your head dedicated to why this thing is a problem. Yep. Like, just start talking, because the more information you can convey, to your partner, especially when you're in a situation with a power exchange where that partner you're talking to has been given by you the authority to make the decision. The more information you can give them, the better informed they are to make a decision that leads to a better outcome for both of you. Now, the reality is, I have learned this, and this is one of those nuanced kind of things. It's usually easier to accomplish in a relationship that's you've been together a while, you've developed a serious level of trust, there's your communication skills are mostly okay, things are really, really good in general. But sometimes I can give all of the information, and I have like reasons and addendums to my reasons and subsections.
Okay, about Sheldon.
Why? I cannot, don't want to, please don't make me do the thing. Or why? Please let me do the thing. Like, whatever it is, right? And sometimes, even with all that information, the answer I get is, I'm here to disappoint you, baby girl, because you have to do this, you don't have to do this. But what that information gives him is the way to sometimes reframe it and have a conversation with me so that I understand his thinking. Yeah. And I may be scared. There have been things that he's asked me to do were things that terrified me, but I understood why, so I could do them.
A very, very good example of this was when we were still long distance. We had gotten into a routine while we were long distance that pretty much once a month I would either travel to you or you would travel to see me. And when it got close to the time that we had been talking about moving in together and no longer being long distance, on that last trip, that would have been April.
It was February.
February.
It was February. I remember that because I was not.
Yes, you're
happy.
Right. It was February. And I told her, I said, look, we are planning to do this at this date.
June.
Yep. And in order to do that, certain things are going to have to be in place. Yeah, see,
It was all those years ago. It was so sad to me.
Yeah. And in order to do this, we are going to need to save some money. And we will not be able to travel.
That was the longest we had gone between visits at that point.
Yeah. And it was hard.
It
was very difficult.
It was so difficult.
Yep.
But we did it. And it was one of those things where we were both disappointed, but we both understood why.
Right.
And it's one of the really crappy things about being a functioning adult where you can know why you're doing something and you can hate it.
Doesn't mean you have to like it.
Right. You can hate like not seeing each other for weeks on end. And yet that you still make that decision because that is ultimately the best decision for the long term.
Because you know the long term gain that's going to come from it outweighs the immediate disappointment.
Still sucks.
Ah.
Still sucks. So I do want to get into just a little bit about the role a certain kinky fuckery and power exchange, like where disappointment plays a role there. And it's in the less depressing, less stressful stuff.
Okay.
If you think about it, orgasm control is about disappointment. I think, how did I put it in my notes? I was very succinct in my notes. Mm-hmm. That's not how I am in real life, but in my notes I was. Yes, and I'm going to say this word.
Yeah, I know exactly what word you're going to say.
I'm going to say this word.
Go ahead, let me hear you say it, girl.
Being disappointed can teach you.
Teach you what?
Patience.
Yeah, very
fucking
good.
Fucking hate that shit. So it is certainly not on the level of disappointment of like having your needs met and doing things and upsetting your partner and all that. It's on the level of, I'm going to make you wait. Oh, you were at the edge of that orgasm and about to explode.
Nope.
You're not now. And you know what? It's a completely different kind of disappointment. It is not the soul-crushing, what am I doing with my life? What is the state of my relationship? Yeah. It's the, oh, fuck, are you kidding me?
Nope.
There's the disappointment. I've gone through this many times when we, it's been so long, but when we're having a good, like, impact scene, usually at a club, like, we don't have all the time in the world, but it's a really good vibe and energy, and I feel like I could go for hours. He stops. I'm like, oh, we could have kept going. We totally could have kept going.
Yeah.
But as the dominant, as the one in charge of this, as the one directing all the action in a scene and the kinky fuckery, that is his responsibility. And he does have to make that call. And it is my personal opinion that it is better to err on the side of ending too soon, because going too long can lead to poor outcomes.
Well, there's a fine line to walk with that, especially with the kinky fuckery, because, or you know, when it comes to impact play and doing a scene, you don't want to go too far, because then if you go too far, then what happens is you may find reason to not like it anymore.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Especially, you know, if it gets to the point that you go beyond the good pain, so to speak.
Right. I mean, that's
ending too early. While it may seem disappointing at the moment,
it does.
From the dominant sadist perspective, leaves you wanting more.
Yes, and there is something to be said for that. There is absolutely, because I mean, you have not ever done this, but we have walked a fine line with it in the past. If my last memory of a kinky fuckery thing was and this is a personal perspective, everybody plays a little bit differently, but if my last memory of some kinky thing we did was right at my boundary limits, and maybe I even had to safe word because it was overwhelming, for me, that's the memory I walk away from of that specific act. Maybe not the whole scene. Some people, it might be the whole scene. Like, if the scene ends on this really, like, excruciating note where you could take no more and it was too much and it was not, it was too much in a not good way, you might be the type of person who that's all you remember of the whole scene. But for me, it's going to be the last act. So that is a fine line, because in one way, that heightens anticipation when it's done right. The cane. I'm not a fan of the cane. So he uses it like an exclamation point. And it might be the last thing.
Finalize the deal.
Right. It might be the last thing he does or uses in a scene. And it is... Sometimes it's that point where, like, if I thought he was going to do any more than that, I would be safe wording out. I'd be like, tapping out. No, we're not doing this anymore. And if he did, I know he's going to swing one time really hard. And I know that means we're done. That's what we... Oh, God. That's how we've established our play. And I'm okay with that. So I fear the cane a little bit, but I know what it means when it comes out. And I know that I don't have to endure too much. If, however... So I'm disappointed, but because we're done, but I'm not fearing it happening again. For me, if he were to go beyond that one excruciating time and go, you know what? We're going to completely push boundaries this time to the point that I'm going to go until she safe words. And he kept going and kept going. That for me would mean that I walk away from that scene thinking about how much I hated those last 30 seconds, because I know how I feel about having a cane used on me, and I know where my tolerance level is, even when the pain is excruciating. So knowing that about yourself is part of the journey. You might not know when you're new and you're just trying kinky things, you don't know how you're going to react to things. You don't know how you're going to think about things. Part of the reason, there's a lot of reasons, but part of the reason we do not play to the outer edges of boundaries and purposely try to push every limit I've got or all of our boundaries. We play inside the fence. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And when, it's because of that.
And when we do push boundaries, I generally let you know that, hey, we're, I'm going to try and push this limit a little bit tonight.
See how far you can go. And sometimes that's a point of pride, but it's not something you would spring on me, because that for me, that would not work. Because here's where the convergence of disappointment happens. If I don't know that's what we're doing and I'm being pushed too far, I am no longer at a point where I worry about saying my safe word. Some people will not say their safe word because they're afraid of disappointing their partner. Mm-hmm. Please stop thinking that you are not. And if your partner makes you feel like you have disappointed them, they suck, okay? Just putting that out there.
Then that's a reason for a very hard conversation.
Ooh, yeah. But I know that even then, even though I know all of that, mm-hmm. I will still feel like if I have to say for it, I have disappointed him. So there's that first fear of disappointment and dealing with disappointment. Then, if he pushes too hard and I walk away from that experience dreading that thing, there's disappointment on both sides. Mm-hmm. Now I'm disappointed because that thing might have been okay in other circumstances, but I don't want it. And now he's disappointed because I'm like, no, get that thing away from me, whatever it might be. So it's a layered thing. It's a very nuanced thing. Disappointment's not the only thing you're possibly going to feel in that situation. Right. But it can be a part of it. And it can be a tool that creates growth. And mm-hmm. that P word I don't like, patience. Yeah. It can be a thing that drives a wedge between you. It can also be a thing that changes how you view certain parts of your dynamic or certain parts of your kinky fuckery if you're not careful. I am at a point in my life, I would rather be momentarily disappointed that the scene ended too early for me, where I'm thinking I could have handled more. More would have been nice. And still be excited for the next time, or start, like, get done, put my clothes back on, and then start mm-hmm. talking about, okay, well, next time let's do this, because the disappointment was so short-lived and so minimal that what it did was it left me wanting more, and now I'm excited about the next time. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the disappointment of what feels like, even though it would not necessarily be this, a failed scene where I couldn't take it, or I couldn't handle it, or he wasn't ready to stop, but I had to. Like, those kinds of disappointments, depending on the circumstances they occur in, can harm things. It can make it harder to scene later. It can degrade the trust that you have between each other. It can be, because it's, for us at least, if that kind of disappointment is experienced, it's a lack of communication.
Yeah.
Which is why for us it's important that he says, we're gonna stretch some limits today. Mm-hmm. Let's see how much you can handle. That also gives me the opportunity when he does that to be able to say, today is not a good day for that. Today is not a good mental health day. Today is not a good day for that. And then we can, that way, he might be, again, temporarily disappointed, but in the long term, it was the right thing to do. And we can anticipate a better time. Right. And we can get excited for something mm-hmm. new. So disappointment's not all bad.
No.
It's not all toxic. It can be.
It can be if it's something that is ongoing mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. It's something that's a growth lesson.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right? You know, and I do have to say, going back to the patience thing.
Yeah.
Oh, what a look that was, baby girl. You've come a long way with that.
Oh, yeah.
When we first met, you were the poster child for impatience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very true.
And you've really, really come a long way in tempering that.
And I can tell you, because I have noticed it myself, and we did in a whole episode on patience and mm-hmm. being patient, and that was difficult to have to admit, because it's important. Patience is part of life.
Yeah.
If you can be patient on most things, not all things, but most things, then you tend to have better outcomes. Part of it is the trust that we've established. It's the understanding. So some of my impatience comes from not thinking, believing, or understanding, or knowing that the thing I want is going to happen. And so I want it to happen sooner in this moment. Case in point, we finally got off of a teeny tiny little data plan for our cell phones that was ridiculously expensive compared to what other plans cost. And I have been pushing for a year for us to go to unlimited data.
Uh-huh.
That was an exercise in patience.
Yeah, it was.
And yet, I'm okay with it. It took a year to convince a certain somebody who pays the bills.
It wasn't necessarily to convince me. I was okay with the idea. Girl... You want to get in the corner again?
No, go ahead, Daddy.
What it came down to, at the time she brought the idea to me to do this, We were still paying on two phones.
Three phones.
Three phones. Sorry, you're right. Forgot. Three. And we had two tablets under contract. And what that would have cost us.
I know.
To get out of.
Patience served us well.
Right. But because we paid all that off.
I know.
And we switched seamlessly to a new contract.
And now I don't have to worry about data. And if I want to go on Instagram Live while we are at Starbucks, I can.
You can.
That's not the point of this. My point is that learning to trust that things most of the time will work out for the best.
Right.
To trust you, to trust us. To trust myself enough to know that I can keep talking about these things and thinking about these things and they don't automatically disappear just because they don't happen. That has been a big part of it. Another part of it has I've just gotten a little bit older and I've gotten, I don't know if I've gotten wiser, but I'll tell myself I have. And I can look back on big portions of my life now and go, oh yeah, when I just like shut the hell up and sat back and waited 5 seconds, things went way better than when my impatient ass tried to force something to happen.
Yeah.
Never had a good outcome. Very chaotic, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, disappointment will teach you patience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, it's funny. It goes hand in hand. I have been pushing for this cell phone change for a solid year. I've been scheming and I've been planning. I've been reading the fine print
on
websites.
I have to give you that.
And I've sat him down and very earnestly and very seriously drawn up plans of how we could do this.
I would know every time. She would go in and start looking at this stuff because I would be flooded in my emails with offers from the cell phone provider.
Right. But what would happen is I would go into it and I would get myself all worked up that this made total sense and we should do this now. And he's the dumb. He would go, no. And I would be disappointed. And sometimes I would be disappointed to the point of anger. Like I would be frustrated and get so annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I breathe and I take a step back and I go, you know what? Is this life and death? No, let's move on. I got other things to think about.
Yep.
And I could come back to it. I couldn't come back to it every day or every week. Like I had to give some time. And it's funny because every time he would let me talk about it and then he would shut me down.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd let me talk about it and then he'd shut me down a little less and then he'd shut me down a little less. And so my disappointment... lessened
diminished.
Over time, diminished. Thank you. That's what I wanted. Until finally, he said, okay, this is the day we're going to do it. Well, because we're looking at our whole account and blah, 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 whatever. I'm like, okay, that's the day we're going to do it. And then that day came and I was like, okay, let's do it. He goes, that's not the day we said. We said tomorrow. I'm like, wait, what? And I don't know if I'm being mind fucked or if, like, I don't know. And then here's what happened. Here's what's so weird about impatience and disappointment and thinking you know what you want in the moment. For a year, I had been badgering this poor man to please change our data plan on our cell phones because we teenager on a phone and us and we, all this stuff. A year! And then we get to the point where we make an agreement and then...
It became a year and a week.
And here's why. This thing that I was like so disappointed wasn't happening on this timeline that I thought it was supposed to be on. By the time we got to the day that we both agreed, okay, this is the day we can do it, we were both busy. And it took a week. And it took another week to actually get it done. And it was so funny because this is where I say that I think getting a little bit older and going a little bit further in my journey in life, I'm gaining some perspective because when I look back on that, I'm like, I was... all fired up for a year, would get angry when he would say no, felt so much disappointment. And then when the time came, it was something we wanted to get done. It was important enough to us that, you know, we planned for it, blah, 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 blah. And yet, it happened when it happened. And I didn't have to force it to happen.
Well, I think what
I
gave...
I just needed to let it happen instead of trying to make it happen.
What gave me a little bit of satisfaction through all this is... On the day that we did do this, we went to the store and told them what they wanted to do. And they were like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was so easy. We were like all worked up for like it to be difficult.
And he clicked a couple buttons. He's like, okay.
And now I'm like, oh, you mean I can watch YouTube and Starbucks now?
And we got in the car and she was like, I can't believe how easy and seamlessly that went. Like, yeah, we waited for a reason.
Yes.
No contracts, no money out of pocket, nothing. Just a quick, easy.
No real hassle.
5 minute, and everything was switched over, and now we good to go.
And that's the irony of some, but not all, disappointment. Sometimes you're disappointed because you're impatient, and sometimes you're disappointed because you think you want something right now, and your other your partner has a different perspective, and you might not always understand their perspective or agree with their perspective. Hopefully, the relationship is tight enough that there's a good, strong trust in each other. And that means that there will be times when you give in to the thing you want because you trust your partner and you trust their judgment. If you do not trust the judgment of your partner, it's time for some hard conversations and some long, hard looks at what's going on in your life and your relationship. But those can make up for those disappointments. Those disappointments that aren't toxic. Those disappointments that are just part of the DS dynamic of not getting what you want in the moment that you want it. I mean, that is probably, I think, the least toxic and the most common form of disappointment. You don't get what you want when you want it, especially as a submissive who, when it's part of your dynamic and the agreement you made is that the dominant gets to decide.
I could go into a Rolling Stones song here, but I'll...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of disappointments though, that we grow from within our relationship. Yeah. So here's what that means. It does not mean that I am now just the soul of patience. That's not true at all. I am much more patient than I used to be. I am more pragmatic about my impatience. It's fine. But what it means is that the next time that I go, ooh, I would really like to do this thing, right? And I bring it to John Brownstone because that's how our dynamic works. And I lay it all out. As long as he does not completely shoot me down of, I hate this idea, we are never doing this. As long as he's open to it, I now have the knowledge and the experience and the trust that it might not happen when I'm ready for it to happen. But if it's the right move for us, it will happen. Mm-hmm. And the disappointment I feel right now will be short-lived and will be forgotten when we do it in whatever way we feel is the right way, and I allow him to lead. And that is probably the other thing, slipping some thoughts there that have nothing to do with the topic. Submissives, you are allowing your dominant to lead. If they are worthy of that, great. If they're not, it's time for some self-reflection, some introspection. But if you don't allow them to lead, it's not going to happen. It's going to cause conflict. It's going to cause a lot of disappointment. It takes trust for that. Sometimes you thought you were ready for it and you're really not. Sometimes you're ready for it, but you're scared of it. Sometimes you've got bad tapes and you've been disappointed before and you're not sure if you can again. All of those things are valid and you got to work through them. But ultimately, what is happening is I have to allow him to lead. He has to allow himself to lead.
Yep.
And we both have to learn to trust one another. And sometimes it means we get disappointed. But as long as we do it with as much communication as we can manage, it'll be okay. There. Ta-da. We do have a bonus section. Before we do. I don't want to forget. I think I forgot in the last one. I want to do our Patreon shout out to Lorana, Lauren James, CDC, who was here earlier. I don't know if she's still here. Sir and her 78, which I don't know if they're here, but sometimes they are. Here and for podcast listeners would be the live stream. Sorry. Yeah. And B. That's just the letter B. So no, understand. I'm not going to use gender. They are lovely. And so thank you to those specific patrons. But we love all of our kinky patrons at any dollar level. If you would like to become a kinky patron and help us do more of what we do, support the work we do, help us eventually buy a new camera one day, patreon.com/KaylaLords. Okay. So are we going to do a bonus section? Are we going to do our thing? You almost wrote the thing down and didn't do the
thing. I did not.
You almost did. You didn't, but you almost did.
Girl.
I'm going to get in so much trouble.
Yeah, you are. Oh my gosh. You were being so sassy.
I mean, it's the coffee. I slurped down some espresso. I'm wired. 2 weeks
That's
away.
That's no excuse.
2 weeks away from our
that
wonderful
no
community.
That is no excuse, girl.
You're right.
Yeah.
It is no excuse, but it is also the reality.
Are we good?
I'll let others decide.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. For real this time, we're back. Can I talk to the crickets, please, Daddy? I lost my tap. Can I talk to the crickets, please, Daddy? Please. Please.
Go ahead, girl.
There is a chance that the bonus section might be as long as the episode. My feelings are not hurt if people are like, dude, I can't sit through the whole
thing. Well, if it's
going
to be that long, I'm going to have to stand up and stretch, and then people are going to figure out whether I really have pants on or not.
You got pants on. Okay, so we took a 2-week break.
Yes.
Because I was about this close to burnout.
You were.
It's weird, not for podcast stuff or video stuff, but for everything else. Mm-hmm. Blogging, working with clients, like everything I do, I was like, I'm done. I can't, I am so not motivated. I don't want to do this. And I knew that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
So since I knew that wasn't true, but that was certainly how I was feeling, I was like, oh, I remember the last time I felt burnout. Yeah, we're right on the edge there. So an impromptu 2-week break,
yep,
which was certainly needed. I have already planned my next break, which is only a few weeks away. But because of the timing of that next break, we will still, at the very least, live stream / record a podcast episode. Because that day of live streaming where we record will fall on my birthday. And I'm not a person who ever wants a birthday party or a lot of people physically around me ever. I don't like anybody to sing the happy birthday song. Like no, my introvert self just curls up into a ball and cries. But I'm baby girl enough to want to be in my community on my birthday. And so on my birthday, that will be that week, I'll take off from client work. I'll get all that stuff done ahead of time. And I probably won't blog at all that week on any site, but I will live stream because the live stream is on my birthday.
It's the end of October, folks. I will, as it gets closer, I'll make sure y'all know the day so you can properly wish her a happy birthday.
Oh, Lord, just don't anybody sing at me. And then won't there be a crowd of anybody?
Happy birthday to you.
No, I'm cringing.
Happy birthday.
Stop, it's my birthday.
No, I'm warming up.
You can't sing the song if it's not somebody's birthday.
I'm warming up.
And apparently that cringing at the song is genetic. Both kids have recently had a birthday, and they're both like, please stop singing to us. Which just made me sing louder because I'm a mean parent, I guess.
It was fun.
It was fun. I'm going to find me a keto cake. I'm going to have cake at my birthday, but it's going to be a cake I want to eat. That is what's going to happen.
I love you, but I'm not driving all that way to get you cake.
It's a keto bakery.
I know.
It's my 40th birthday. I've never asked you to drive anywhere special to get me a cake before. Also, it hasn't even happened yet. We're like 5 or 6 weeks away. Like, I'll order my own damn cake, and I'll go get it. Y'all know me. I will. I totally will. Okay. So, what else is going on? You go first. You said you had stuff.
Yeah. I'm getting ready for my first craft show.
The first one you've done in like a year?
Yeah.
Maybe not a year.
No.
Maybe like 10 months?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. That's coming up this Saturday. And I've been working on getting ready for that all week, getting my boxes all packed up and
price tags
for stuff and making sure I have the things I need. And I've been doing that. And in between that, I have started working on my motorcycle to get my bike back up and running.
I know. I'm ready for you to take me for a ride on your motorcycle.
I'm not proud of the fact that I let it sit for 2+ years.
I don't think it's something that you. I don't think it's something that you should sort of beat yourself up over. Life, way got in the way.
I know it did. It was a lot of different things that contributed to it sitting for a while, but I have started working on that. Um, Yeah, only 2 years. It seems like a lot longer than that, but and it may be. I don't know. I'm just maybe trying to go easy on myself, saying 2 years.
But, basically, since you got your RAV4.
Yeah, that's when they changed my job, and I couldn't. I had to get the car because they changed my job that time.
You were riding your motorcycle every single solitary day.
Yeah.
And then for a few months after your job changed and you had to get a vehicle, you were riding it on the weekends every so often. We would sometimes go out. And then shit just got. But and see, that's the thing. This is where I annoy people, and I know I annoy people. The way I look at it is. You can't change what happened, so it's like no regrets, just move forward.
So
and now you're fixing it.
Yep, I'm fixing it. I've got a new battery for it, ready to go in, and from sitting for so long, the gas tank was not pretty inside.
But now it is.
Yeah, did a lot of research on that, and I found something to clean the inside. It was not a chemical cleanse on the, for the tank, but I am very impressed with what it did. It's a product called Evaporust,
which apparently is used on all kinds of things, not just for motorcycles.
Used on all kinds of things, and one of the reasons I liked it is because it's not chemical, and technically it's environmentally friendly.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, and... I followed the directions to a T, and it did a fantastic job. Looking into the tank prior to this, I was just like, oh my God, that's never going to... And after doing the cleanse, it's just almost like brand new inside. So I've got that taken care of. Now I have started basically degreasing it. because of the fact that I had used it for so many years as my primary transportation, and then sat, it collected a lot of road grime and
it lives in the garage, which is also the wood shop.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of dust.
So there's a lot of dust that accumulated, and I'm literally going over it with a fine-tooth comb, cleaning it out.
Y'all, I go out. I'm walking the dog yesterday. It's weird because normally we pull all the way up in our driveway up to the garage. We don't go in the garage. That's where the workshop is. But both our cars pull up in the driveway all the way up to the garage door.
Yeah.
And we haven't been able to do that because he's working on his bike in the driveway, which is fine. Driveway's big enough. No big deal. But I'm not used to that because we just never did that even in our old condo. But I come outside yesterday, I'm walking the dog, midday walk, and I, even though I knew, like intellectually, he's working on the bike, I still stopped when we got out the front door. So I'm like, oh no, you're truly on the ground holding it like, it's not a toothbrush, but it looked like, maybe it was a toothbrush.
It was a toothbrush.
It was a toothbrush. Going over this chain doolally thing that's part of the bike. My job is not to understand how the bike works. My job is to look cute on the back of the bike. And I was like, wow, you look like those people who work on mechanical things. I thought you only did that with computers. Okay. And then I left him to it on the ground because that's not my place. And walked it out. I'm like, I will admire your work. I will hand you tools if you describe them very clearly so I know which one you're talking about. I'm not a toothbrush on the ground. Grease under my fingernails kind of person. Yeah.
No, I was using a citrus cleaner, citrus degreaser, and it was doing a good job. Toothbrush just kind of helped me get in there. I got a little heavier brush today. I went out and chased some other parts today. I got a new gas filter, so I'm working my way down through the fuel system. So everything at this point from the gas tank to the carburetor will be cleaned.
And you found a bike shop.
Found a bike shop to take care of the things that I know I'm not capable of doing. Have a new air filter. Picked up some degreaser for the engine to get that cleaned up.
That's a lot of work.
It's been a lot of work, but I...
Do you have a timeline of when you think it might be all done?
As far as all done, no. When I talk to the folks at the shop... one of the first questions they asked was, is this your primary ride or do you ride for recreation?
Oh, okay.
Apparently, they give
priority
to people whose motorcycle is their primary
form
of transportation, and I'm good with that. So,
because when your bike was your primary form of transportation, that did not happen for you at different bike shops. Nobody asked that question.
Yes, Jennifer. Unfortunately, I did. There was gas in the line for 2 years that it sat,
which is why he's doing all this.
Which is why I'm doing all this extra work. And as I was talking with somebody online yesterday, there's a very good chance the carburetor is going to need to be devarnished. And that's not something I'm capable of doing. Carburetors and I do not get along because I can never get them jetted just right after all is said and done.
Okay.
Now, I will have to say one thing I am very thankful for. Since I have owned that bike, I have never run anything other than ethanol-free gas. Well, the difference in that is if you just use regular gas in small engines, it kills the rubber seals and hoses. So I did only ever use ethanol-free gas. So I'm not concerned about the seals and hoses.
So you're working on your bike.
Yep.
And believe me, when we can both get back on the bike again, there will be pictures.
the bike is a 2001 Honda Shadow Ace.
And it's pretty and blue. And that's really all I care about.
Silver and blue.
So what else besides the bike? Has that been it?
That's
the bike and the show? That's enough.
That's pretty much been it for me.
Yeah, a couple people commented on YouTube, and I see your comments, and thank you. And podcast listeners, you cannot see this. I'm so sorry. And I don't know. Will I take a picture? I have my hair cut. It is shorter than it was before. I'm still deciding how I like to style it. When it was cut, it was probably a quarter inch too short. I have a cowlick right at the top of the back of my head. And I've got like this section of hair that just sticks straight up. So I have to put a lot of stuff in it. And then my bangs don't sit. I know. And I don't even use product usually. And my bangs don't sit quite right the way I want it to. And I'm still figuring it out. But yeah, my hair is a lot shorter. I am happy with it, but it did almost give me an identity crisis because I was like, oh my gosh, what if I want my hair to be short. So I had her chop it all off. I even showed her a picture of how I used to have it many, many years ago. And I was like, okay, I know I like this. I know this is what I want. And so I had it done. And then for 2 days was in a state of, oh my God, what have I done? And I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror. It really bothered me. I was not sure if I had done the right thing. I am happy about it in the sense that I don't think about my hair at all. I wash it, I mostly dry it, I run my fingers through it, I move on with my life. I don't even miss, like it's, I don't miss long hair at all. So I got my hair cut. What else? I'm back at work. I feel better. Yeah. So from recording, we technically took two Wednesdays off.
Yeah.
So there were two weeks off, but it was really more like from total work, it was more like 8 or 9 days. And yes, I would have loved to have had more time, but that was enough time and I feel pretty good. So that was nice. We've been going to the gym. I've been going more often than you've been going.
Yes.
But we have been still going to the gym. Whether you're a podcast listener or a YouTube watcher, excuse me. We did put a vlog up right before we went on hiatus.
Right.
And there's a couple little scenes in there where you can see us at the gym. And that was fun. While I was off, like vacationing, which really I just sat on my couch and that was glorious, so I guess staycation, I read a lot of books mostly. Like I just did nothing and it was wonderful.
You did some stitching.
Yeah, I did some cross stitching. I'm hoping to do some of that tonight.
And we binge watched some more Flash.
We did. We binge watched the little bit of TV that we watch. We don't watch a lot. That's what I needed though. I needed to just not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it took me, coming back, it took like a day and a half mental energy, a day and a half to get through the emails and comments, blog comments and YouTube comments. And I still, it is Wednesday as we're recording this, and I still have not gone into FetLife, where I know we have many, many messages, both the Loving BDSM FetLife account and my own personal FetLife account. And I'm, so if you have left me, sent me a FetLife message and I have not responded, it is likely because I know when I go in there, I'm going to be overwhelmed with lots of messages, so I've avoided it. Just stuff.
Yeah.
I think you're having more interesting time of it than I am.
Yeah. Tonight I'm...
Yeah, that's right! Yeah. You've got a wood date.
Wood date, yep. I have been... This was something I was interested in before we moved. Finding a group, a wood turning group. I have learned most of my wood turning on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in a lot of ways, some of my skills are lacking and I want to improve upon that. And I reached out to somewhere here local and have found a wood turning group. And their core focus is passing on knowledge. So I'm attending the first meeting tonight and looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also found out about a wood turning symposium that will be coming up in February that is fairly local. So, yeah, I've been, doing that because... I'm interested in doing some new and different things, but I need some skills I need to improve upon a little bit.
Well, what I was really impressed about is the person who told you about the group and invited you to the group.
Mm-hmm.
Follow them on Instagram. They follow you back.
Yes.
You reached out asking about groups. They immediately said, here's my number, call me, which mm-hmm. my introvert self would have just died. I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. That's not what I use my phone for.
Mm-hmm.
And then offered to teach you his special skill, which is beautiful in the work he makes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was just like, I was in the best possible way. I was absolutely dumbfounded. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just,
mm-hmm.
So you got a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I'm over here like, am I going to get time to stitch or read my book tonight? Because that's totally what I want to do. I am very much in a mode of... It's funny how energies are, even when our energy flow between each other is really good, and it mostly is mm-hmm. most of the time, we are at different points individually. So his energy is a go, go, go. I got a lot of things I want to do. I'm really motivated. I've got these goals I want to achieve. And y'all know me. I got goals I want to achieve. Of course I do. I always do. But my energy right now is very much a let's slow down. Let's sit quietly. Let's unplug, unwind. Blah, blah, blah. And it's funny to me because normally it's me going, well, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to catch up on my favorite podcast that I listen to regularly. Mm-hmm. I'm so far behind. I am currently listening to June episodes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
And I am not that person who can just go, oh, no, I'll start right. I'll pick up today and then try to catch up to the backlog. No, I have to go back to the point I stopped listening and listen forward. And that is as stressful as you might imagine it to be. That is what I have to do. I'm going through the YouTube live chats.
Uh-huh.
If you're a podcast listener and you ever get the opportunity, I absolutely, obviously we want you to watch our videos because we wouldn't be on YouTube if we didn't. But the comment section is amazing. It's sort of its own little community of people chatting, and I really, really like it. And if you're trying to connect with kinky people online, this is a good place to start, I think. So I'm just going through real quick, looking through. Oh, da, 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 da. You know, it's funny, people are commenting about short hair and whether they like it, whether they don't, if they feel like they could pull it off, whatever. There's kind of, first of all, it's all about personal preference, what you like, what we feel good with. But I absolutely hate that society has taught us, or at least taught me, I won't speak for anybody else, that if you have a round face, if you are a little overweight, if you are not some small, petite, thin little thing, that you somehow can't have short hair. And I'm not saying that's how everybody who's commenting about short hair right now is. That would be an assumption that would be wrong to make. But I know that that is some of what I have thought in the past of, oh, my face is too round. Oh, I'm too chubby. And those things might be true to other people looking at me. I don't care if that's how other people think my haircut and my face don't go together. But I love it because it makes me feel good. And it's an ease of use. It's easy to clean. It's a style I don't have to think about. And so even though I did have that sort of crisis of, oh my God, what have I done? I've cut my hair off. I don't look right.
Wash and wear.
there are so many benefits that I felt immediately that were important to me, that whether it, quote, looked right on me or not, for me, quickly became much less important. And now I live with this face all the time. And I've now lived with this haircut for, what, 2 weeks? And so now it actually feels normal. I'm still not sure about the styling part because I don't know about any of that. But so that's just maybe something to consider if you are thinking about getting your hair, if you have long hair and are thinking of cutting it short and think that you somehow can't. Jennifer mentioned for my 40th birthday, I don't have to do a keto cake. I can cheat. Couple things. We've had 3 birthdays this summer. I have had regular cake all 3 times.
Yes.
The keto cake is mostly for me because I want a cake that, so what happens is when I have a regular cake made with flour and regular sugar, it's not that I'm worried about gaining weight. Flour, grain products
does not do well with her,
cause me physical pain.
Yeah.
And so I'm not really supposed to eat them at all. No, I don't have not been diagnosed with anything. All of the tests said I didn't have anything, but I was like, except when I eat things with flour in them, my stomach hurts. Okay. but so to get a keto cake means that I get a piece of cake beyond the first day, and it's my cake. So for me, going keto is a lifestyle change. Like, I did it for my health. I did it because foods were literally hurting my body, causing physical pain, causing massive bloat. I was miserable. But I love the foods that I eat on keto. And I love some of the new recipes we've tried. So it's not, I don't miss those old foods. So for there to be like a potential keto cake that would be made by an actual baker, I'm kind of excited. I also threatened to make my own damn cake so that I could have as much of it as I wanted. I've done that before. I'm fine with that. Okay, let's see. Let's see. I'm going through the comments and the... We are here for... You know what? If you are listening or watching, you're like, shit, these people take for fucking ever. Yes, we do. We always do when we come back from a break because it's all pent up and we got to get it out. But also, our feelings are not hurt if somebody has to watch us in batches, or if you only get to the certain point and you go, I can't fucking do this anymore. It's okay. I could have... Oh, I remember. I can't find it. I think it was Ben who sort of mocked the fact that you are using the standard ringtone on your phone. I don't know why that changed, because we both at one point had a Doctor Who theme song. Different Doctor Who theme song. Yeah. But a Doctor Who ringtone. I still do. It shocks and scares the shit out of anybody, which is why I usually keep my phone on silent. It even scares me when it goes off. But yours went back to standard at some point.
Well, yeah, I had the Doctor Who when I still had Android.
Oh, you know, you could get that for your iPhone.
Yeah, I know. I never...
Here's the sad thing. I'm such a cheapskate. I hate to buy ringtones. I only buy... If I change my ringtone, I do buy them. I don't, like, do anything you're not supposed to do or whatever. I know other people do. I don't. And here's the sad thing. They're like $1.29. I'll keep the same ringtone for literal years. Mm. So I get my money for it.
I would like to get one specifically for you for when you send me a text message or if you call me.
Mm-hmm.
River Song.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, sweetie.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. My point was, for once to the commenter who hates the fact that I interrupt John Brownstone, for once John Brownstone interrupted me.
Yes.
So he was very proud of himself. My point is, I buy a ringtone, I use it for literal years. It's $1.29. I clearly get my money's worth. I really want at least a couple of ringtones with Lizzo's music, because I love Lizzo. She's great. but I don't want to pay $1.29. I'm that much of a cheapskate. So I've had the Doctor Who theme song for 3 or 4 years as
more
my ringtone.
More than that, I think, yeah.
Since we moved in together.
Yeah.
So, I'm just checking. Nothing's jumping out at me. If I miss your question, y'all, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're back. We're here. I think neither of us actually want this to end. Because we keep talking.
But we do kind of need it to end. We have another video to record. And then I got to start chasing boys down.
Just one.
The
other one
yeah.
comes home on the bus.
That's true. Today's bus day.
Today's bus day.
Okay.
Yeah. Kids are good. I know sometimes y'all ask. They're fine.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest one, he has transformed into the marching band geek I always knew he could be. And my heart just swells every time. He's like, Mom, I really like this song. Mom, we're playing more Stan's music. Mom!
Mm-hmm.
He came to me and he's like, I need a new mouthpiece, Mom. My section leader was like, this mouthpiece sucks. You need a better one. And I was like, okay. And we jumped on it. And he's like, I also need this thing for my trumpet and that thing for this. And I was like, okay. Not even like, should I check the bank account first? Probably.
Yeah.
We bought it because it's banned.
Right. Yeah, Jennifer, we didn't have any mail this week.
Matter of fact, this morning
while I was out running errands, that was one of the things I did was go by the post office. And, back when I had Android, I used to make my own ringtones.
That's not enough for me to want to use Android again. Sorry.
Apple is not that friendly, unfortunately.
I am an Apple Mac devotee. I know that people have very strong reasons, legit, for them, why they are not. I am. It just is what it is.
I mean, yeah, you do have certain freedoms with Android that, unfortunately, Apple prefers you to play in their sandbox in a lot of
and
ways.
Even then, it's funny because even if there is a workaround or a way or an app or this, that for me, and this is just me, y'all, that's too much. Like, I would rather go into the app store or whatever, hit the thing, and it's there. Like, I know there are ways around stuff. I know there are ways to do all kinds of stuff in all kind of facets of life, and I have become the person. I think I've always been this way, but I'm more comfortable being the person that goes, what's the most convenient option? Can I afford that convenient option? I'm going with the convenient option.
Okay. Keep going. I'll be right back because
somebody asked a question. I don't know the answer.
Oh, goodness. Okay. If it's our address, if they're watching the video, it's in the description below.
Oh, it is?
Yes, I put it there every time.
Okay, yes. I didn't know that.
Yes, but for podcast listeners who are bitch,
right.
I don't have the description box. We can give it. Would you like me to give it?
Yes, go ahead and give it.
The address. If anybody wants to send us mail, I am way behind on sending out reciprocating with postcards. I have been for a long time. I might need to give up the ghost and say that's probably not happening. I don't know. Our new address for mail, if anybody wants to send us a postcard or a letter, which we totally take, you can type it up. If you're not a handwriting person, you can handwrite it. We don't care. Is P.O. Box 434. P.O. Box 434. Ocala. That is O-C-A-L-A. Not Ocala. Not whatever other pronunciations. It's O as in an Ocala. Florida. We're in Florida. We love being in Florida. We also bitch about being in Florida. The zip code is 34478. 34478. If you are a podcast listener, our address is in the show notes page. I put it there every time. If you are a video watcher, it is in the description below. It's actually, I think I've managed to make sure it's in the description of any video you watch. So there's that. There was something else. Oh, the power of social media and YouTube. I like to pretend that I cannot be influenced by the things I see. I think that's stupid because of course I can be. And I had been up until, this last time I did was the last time I'm going to. I've been going to get my nails done and paying for it. And I've been actually using the dip powder and I like the dip powder, but I'm actually a gel polish kind of girl. And then I realized that was an expensive habit that I wasn't getting a lot of joy out of it. It was more convenient, but it was less convenient. Like, it was like an hour and a half every time. And then I was like, do I love it? I don't know. So I've been watching a YouTuber who no longer does nail tutorials, but that's where she started. It's called Simply Nail Logical. She's got like 7 point something million subscribers, so I'm sure a lot of people know who she is. She's hilarious. But something about it, the few times I watched actual nails stuff on her Not a Nail tutorial channel, I was like, wait, I might be able to do that with practice and the right equipment. And so I'm going to start doing my own nails, gel polish, once I buy the stuff I need, because I did the math, I can spend approximately the same amount of money one time to get a bunch of supplies that I need. That's the same cost as one time of going to get my nails done, including the tip that, you know, I leave for the person who does my nails. So it's like I could spend that one time and then be able to do my nails whenever I want, change it as often as I want, over and over and over again until the little gel, the UV light breaks down and I gotta get a new one. Or I could keep spending this money to walk out of there every time going, do I like my nails? I don't know. But painting my nails is a kind of a new thing. I did it for a few years and then I stopped, but it's my baby girl thing.
And Jen, yes, she has become a holosexual.
I am a holosexual! I was very... You will not understand what the fuck that means if you don't know who Simply Nailogical is. But if you do, you totally get it.
Jen does.
And our shirt, for any YouTube people watching, has... Is that iridescent or is that holographic? I don't know, but it's got a butt plug that's... It's not a butt plug yet. It's got a butt plug that I would call holographic, which makes me a holosexual. It is weird to know that I'm a nearly 40-year-old woman who's watching videos and getting as much pleasure out of them as 9-year-olds do. But it's okay. So I'm never going to... I don't know. I'll probably never do nail art. I'll probably never let anybody see me do my nails. It'll probably be a very home thing. Don't want anybody to be looking for videos about it. But yeah, so I was like, look at me being influenced by this Not a Nail tutorial channel called Simply Nailogical. Sure, I'll do my own nails. Which, and here's what's weird. You know, we're talking about, I'm the type of person, if I can afford to pay for the convenient option, then I will. I'm not sure that painting my own nails is the most convenient option. But I'm at a point now that I have, even though the salon we've been going to, is they're nice people and I love the colors they offer, there's always something that I'm like, I don't love that about this thing. And so now I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and just do it myself. That way, if I'm unhappy with it, at least I fucking did it to myself. And I didn't tip for, I didn't leave a tip and then went home and was unhappy with something. So that's a lot. We're just like rambling now. But
yeah.
And I know we need to stop.
We need to stop.
I know.
I'm sure all these folks have things they have to do. We have things we have to do.
I know.
All right, baby girl.
I know.
Say goodbye.
Oh, do I have to?
Say goodbye, baby girl.
Podcast listeners, I love you. Video watchers, I love you. I don't really want to say goodbye. I really don't want to say goodbye.
Well, you know, with the change in our plan, you can pop in and do a live stream.
I know. We have been talking about doing... If you are on Instagram, please follow us, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1. I fucking hate that handle. Please don't tell me how to change the handle. I know, but it's still the handle I hate. We might be doing some more IG lives there.
Yes.
We're going to try maybe on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also considering more things for Patreon. Yeah. I don't know if they'll be live or just recorded, but so maybe I'll get more opportunities to talk to people that I want to talk to. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right.
I guess. Okay, fine. Talk to everybody next week. Right. I don't want to go.
All right, baby girl.
We love you
guys. We love you guys. Thanks so much for spending the time with us.
Almost 2 hours with us. Holy shit. I'm so sorry, y'all.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.